There's also a great American physicist called Paul Laviolette. His theory is that the center of our galaxy is not a black hole, but a pulsar, and that one of these events happens approximately every 13,000 years. So it's happened over and over and over again, where civilization has risen to a high point and then collapsed and had to keep reinventing itself over time.
Wow. Yeah, I think that's astonishing. You mean might some pulse from the center of the galaxy could kind of wipe us out?
Basically his theory, you know, what a black hole is it continually absorbs energy and planets and everything, and it just never ends. Whereas a pulsar is something that fills and then has to eject some of that energy out. It's like it fills up and it can't fill more, so it has to release. And so the energy goes across the galactic plane, wreaking havoc as it goes. And I think that's what entered our solar system around 12,000 plus years ago and just wreaked havoc, caused us to have to go back to what we call the Stone Age period. And then, you know, civilization suddenly reappears in places like Sumeria, the Indus Valley, and Egypt, say 6,000 years ago.
Well, you're giving me lots of food for thought of the audience. We're learning a lot from this because I have a bit of knowledge here and there, but you've filled out so much. Just get back to Michael Kremer. He was saying they found human, you know, anatomically modern human skeletons in coal deposits in Illinois and Colorado going back 300 million years. This indicates maybe several phases of civilization, and the idea that stone structures last a long period of time, but things like concrete and automobiles, they can weather away within a few thousand years. But I guess, yeah, like you're saying, you don't know about that, right? That's a bit extreme.
Well, it's too extreme for me to think about. But we can tell through, again, we have a great geologist who's a Canadian, Susan Moore, who comes with us on almost every tour. Like, she comes to Egypt with us every time. She's going to India with us because she's been before. She's been to Peru. And I'm constantly asking her in the field about how, you know, the weathering of surfaces, depending on the material, but how long she thinks ago the cutting and shaping was done. One relatively new bit of information is we went to Petra in Jordan with her. And just as we were entering, I was, you know, it's all supposed to be sandstone, which isn't that hard a material. But when we looked a little carefully and, you know, tried to scratch the surface and stuff, she said it's 7 out of 10 in terms of hardness, with diamond being 7 or with diamond being 10. And, you know, she said this is more like a quartzite. And again, to cut quartzite, you need basically diamond technology. And Petra is not what most people think it is. Most people have watched the Indiana Jones film that features it for 2 minutes, and you see this narrow passageway, then you see what's called the treasury, which is this flat carved surface. And in fact, Petra is 12 kilometers long.
Holy smokes, I've seen videos on Petra. It's an amazing, huge stone structure. You wonder, how could they possibly have carved that, and how old is it? But I didn't know it's 12 kilometers long.
Oh yeah, no, my wife and I walked all the way to the end of it. And it took us hours, and then we had to ride horses back because we were exhausted. The final part of it was a staircase that was something like 2,000 or 3,000 steps. And then also chambers 300,000 cubic feet in size.
So how old is it? You can't measure rock, right? How old do you think it is?
I think it's pre-cataclysmic. So I think it's 12,000 plus years old. And the treasury is the only aspect of it that was like very finely finished, because you see real detail work. I think that was done by the Greeks probably 2,000 years ago. But the rest of it is just flat, simple surfaces with these massive chambers. It shows heavy amounts of erosion. We're going back in April in order to look at it again, because one trip to one of these places is not enough. You look at the big picture, but then your mind starts asking questions. So you have to go back and start looking at more of the detail as to what you may have missed.
Yeah, I'm thinking about this Paul Sastry mentioned that in the Buddha's teachings, and I think in Hinduism too, he describes vast ages of human civilization where things peak out, sort of morally advanced, spiritually advanced, and then it goes into a decay over periods like tens or hundreds of thousands of years. Things completely bottom out into chaos and corruption and violence, and then things get together again, and it peaks out again. Periods of great virtue. I don't think he said particularly advanced ancient civilizations. He describes previous ages of great kings and stuff. But there's that undulating wave idea of history that goes up and down. And that's definitely in the Buddhist and Hindu teachings going back like millions of years. So I guess that's kind of maybe consistent with this idea of, this pulsar star every 13,000 years or so. I mean, I'm just sort of trying to connect the dots, because I'm a Buddhist teacher and trying to connect it to your archaeology work.
Sure. No, but that does make sense. That civilizations either technically rise to a higher level or spiritually, or maybe both, depending where. And then there is a crash, whether it's due to external forces or the rise of immorality or a combination of the two. So I think that's a definite, it's a definite case that we've had these cycles going on for a very extended period of time. And it's good to look into the oral traditions and mythology of ancient cultures, because I think they're all based on fact in some way. I mean, they tend to embellish like way too much over time, but I think the foundation of all of this stuff is in historical fact.